welcome everyone to the NBA podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. I'm your host, Manaf Manji, back in the saddle after taking a week off. Hey, it was rightfully so. I know all eyes were on college basketball and the NCAA tournament, but hey, we're winding down, I should say, the NBA season with about 10 games left for each NBA team. And I know there's a lot of action going on right now, or not a lot of action, I should say, but a fun game right now going on between the Bucks and the Lakers as they are in double overtime. But we'll recap what we saw over the last week here or so, and then we'll get into the Wednesday night card in the association. Also, get to our player prop best bet as well as our best bets. And some interesting discussion betting topics that we have here tonight as well for this podcast. But joining me, as usual, to help me break everything down here in the association, it's Sleepy J. Sleepy, how you feeling, my man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. March Madness was complete madness. And I felt like maybe we should probably take like a week off the NBA pod because I didn't know there would be a ton of focus on the NBA. And early this morning, I woke up and it was like, did you guys quit doing the NBA pod? And I'm like, nah, we're good, dude. Like, we got the NBA pods firing up tonight. We'll have the best bets going, the player props that Manaf's been killing. We'll have it all. And he was like, all right, man, thanks, dude. And I'm like, you got it, dude. I'm like, we're cool. So we're back. The madness is still going on, but you know, we got to get ready for this home stretch here of the NBA. What do we got left? Like 10, 11 games. So we got to go.
Yeah, about, I think, 2.5-3 weeks left here before we do get into the play-in tournament bracket games for the NBA. So a lot to be determined, at least in the Western Conference. And we'll talk about that here on this episode as well. But Sleepy, let's recap our picks from the last episode that we did do for the NBA podcast. And we swept the board. Another winning podcast for us. Quickly recap here. I know I had the Pelicans minus -6.5. They got the job done 112-104. And then you had the Suns minus -9. That one got to the window as well for us. They got the victory 107-96. Then our player prop best bets continue to roll. We had Nikola Jokic over 24.5 points. That one got to the window fairly easily for us as well. That's another player prop that cashed for us by the third quarter. And Jokic finished that game with 31 points. So hopefully we can continue that here on the Wednesday night pod here. But I think, Sleepy, I don't remember the last time we had a losing pod since the All-Star break. But I think we're, like you mentioned it on a couple of pods ago, that we're hitting our stride right now. And it looks pretty good for us winding down the season here, Sleepy.
Absolutely. I mean, this is kind of like go time. And I always say that, you know, when you get into like the playoff push, that particular teams have motivations and you can go ahead and you can stick that into your handicap. It's harder to do that, you know, when you're in the third and the fourth week. Like, yeah, those teams are trying, but right now it's your season's on the line and you don't know where you may be next year. You might not get a contract with that team. And if you can go ahead and you could push them over the edge, they might go, you know what? Hey, a Norm Powell, he really stepped up for us. Let's keep him next year. You know what I mean? So this is a time where motivation is key when it comes to your handicapping. So this is what I like to call the money time, you know, when it comes to the NFL, NBA, any of those sports, you know what I mean? When you get down to crunch time, you kind of have to have all your ducks in a row. And if you do, and if you've really been tracking and following and doing well with your handicapping, it starts to pay off at this time, at least for me. Some people like the beginning of the year, some like the middle. Most of the guys I know, the sharp guys, you know, handicappers that do this every day, they like it at the end because there are more factors to add into your handicap. And this is it's the money time for me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, this is a time when you want NBA teams that are in the playoff hunt getting ready for the playoffs to be playing their best basketball. I think that's for bettors here as well. As far as the NBA, I think there's a lot of opportunities at this juncture of the season to really capitalize and take advantage of the books and make some money and then be in a full stride heading into the playoffs. So hopefully we can continue that here on the Wednesday night card in the association as we're back to discussing basketball here. And Stevie, there's a lot of topics that you and I want to discuss here before we actually do get into the betting card for the Wednesday night. And the first of the topics was actually looking at the Western Conference play-in tournament bracket right now. And I mean, there is a very thin margin for a lot of these teams here. And again, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but my Houston Rockets, they are absolutely surging right now. They are on the heels of the Golden State Warriors, who currently hold the 10th spot. They did get the victory on Tuesday night, against the Miami Heat in Miami. That was the game that they didn't have Jimmy Butler. Coming off of the loss on Sunday, did the Golden State Warriors suffer against the Minnesota Timberwolves, where they were leading after the first quarter. They were leading at halftime. They were leading at the end of three quarters and let that lead slip away against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And maybe people were panicking a little bit about the Golden State the Warriors here. But, I mean, looking at this play-in tournament bracket for the Western Conference, currently as it stands, you have the Dallas Mavericks that are sitting in the seventh spot, the Phoenix Suns in the ninth spot. You have the Lakers and the Warriors in the ninth and tenth spot, respectively. And I think right now for the Golden State Warriors, they have to start playing their best basketball because, like I mentioned, the Rockets have won nine games in a row. And I know it hasn't been against the greatest competition, but you play who's in front of you. And the Rockets have taken care of business in those games. And I know you and I talked about when Sengun went down with the injury for the Houston Rockets that in the back of my mind as a fan, I thought that was going to probably be the season for the Houston Rockets. But look, they're now one game above 500. They have a big game on Wednesday night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You take a look at this play-in tournament bracket here, Sleepy. Is there any teams that make you nervous? Do you think the Warriors can hold off the Rockets here? Or do you think the Rockets can somehow overtake the Warriors and maybe one of these teams do get knocked out?
I think what's interesting about what you're talking about here, Manaf, is that we laid out six different topics for this podcast, and the Rockets was not on there. And I knew it. I said, you know what? He's going to start with some Rocket stuff. And, you know, I'm glad for you because that's your team. It's not the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm glad that your Rockets are doing good because it was a team that I'm sure that you were a little bit concerned of. But the fact that they're surging right now, I mean, they're playing excellent basketball. I looked at the line tonight, Manaf. They were laying like double digits in the game. I was like, when's the last time the Rockets laid double digits to anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be a couple of years. So they're surging right now. And I'm not convinced, you know, right now with the Warriors. I mean, they're not playing great basketball. We're going to go ahead. We're going to preview their game in a little bit against the Magic. What are they getting? They're getting like 6 points in that game. So,
yep.
You know, there are question marks there. I wouldn't say go ahead and fade the Rockets by any means, because when you're playing your best basketball, I don't care who steps in front of you. It's tough to take that type of team down. So Rockets are doing pretty good. The team I would be concerned about, it's got to be the Warriors. How could it not be? Because they're right there on the fringe. And you know, they're going to have a couple tough games here coming up. And I thought that there probably should have been at least a win or two over their last couple, and they resulted in losses. So that's the team I'm most concerned about. And I don't know how you feel, Manaf, but Let's say the Warriors don't even make the play-in. They miss the playoffs completely. Do you think they blow the team up, or do you think that they kind of reload? Because I could see a scenario where you keep Curry, you keep Kuminga, you probably keep Brandon. And I think Klay and Draymond are gone. I think they're out the door. I think it's going to be the rebuild, but more of the reload, because you have somebody like Curry. Obviously, that would be a complete shocker if the Warriors decided to get rid of Curry. I don't think that would ever happen. But I could see Klay Thompson and Draymond Green out the door if this team absolutely doesn't even make the play-in. So I think there's concerns there, and there's a lot of pressure. I mean, there's a lot of pressure regardless of the fact. If you don't win, then you're not getting in. But these players have pressure because they don't know where they could be next year. You know, they could be on the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, we saw with Fred VanVleet, who left Toronto after, you know, having an NBA title. I know they took Kawhi Leonard for the Toronto Raptors to win that title. But I mean, we saw them break it up this past trade deadline, right? We talked about it at volume side, getting Pascal Siakam traded. They ended up trading OG Anunoby to the Knicks. Fred VanVleet left in the offseason to sign a big deal with the Houston Rockets. So I think for this Warriors team, I think number one, it was a little bit telling for me that they did sign Steve Kerr to that contract extension, because I know this is a team that when you have one of the best players in the world and one of the greatest shooters of our generation in Steph Curry, who's I believe now 36 years old. So I don't know how many more seasons he does have left, but I like making hot takes. I'm a conspiracy theory guy, and I feel like that we've seen the comments made by LeBron James that he likes Steph Curry's game. In so many words, if you kind of read between the lines, that, you know, maybe he wants to play with a guy like Steph Curry. Would I be shocked if I saw a first-round exit for the Lakers and LeBron decided to go up and team up with Draymond Green, who he's really good friends with a guy in Steph Curry, like we mentioned, one of the best players in the NBA and one of the greatest shooters of our generation, and also having Steve Kerr as the head coach? And I know maybe lately fans have not been very high on Steve Kerr because some of the comments and decisions that he has made. But if you take a look at what transpired on Sunday night and Steph Curry only playing, what, 30 to 31 minutes in a pivotal game, you want your best player out there playing at least 35 minutes in a game that's going to matter for you if you're going to make the playoffs, because right now they're in the midst of a 5-game road trip here. But I think if the Warriors don't make the playoffs here, I think they retool. Not something to the caliber of what we saw when they called up Kevin Durant and when they lost that NBA title, but I think that you don't want to waste these years of what's left of Steph Curry, that you want to retool and you want to go out and win a championship again, because this team has done it, right? We've talked about this Warriors team and the core that they still have intact. And I know maybe Klay's best days are behind him after he suffered those, you know, two of the more tougher injuries in any sport, right? The Achilles injury and the torn ACL. So I personally think that they'll retool. Maybe they don't get Klay Thompson back, or they don't bring him back. I mean, maybe because he does command a lot of money, but I think one player, and again, hot take, I think that one player to keep an eye on is LeBron James, because I feel like that's the type of player that could put a team like the Warriors over the top, because LeBron right now has kind of taken the back seat to Anthony Davis, and you let Steph Curry do what he can do with the Golden State Warriors. And when you add a guy like LeBron that can on any given night take over as a scorer, be a distributor, and have a high level IQ, I think it's a possibility that he does end up there. So I know I'm ranting here a little bit, but I think the end game would be that they would retool for the Warriors and try to still compete for a championship.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure which way they would go. I mean, what you're saying all makes sense there. I thought a lot of where LeBron would end up kind of depended on, you know, the whole Bronny situation and what that could end up being, because yeah, LeBron has already said, like, hey, I want to play with my kid. And, yeah, you know, if the Warriors or whoever, whatever team out there, you know, can't manage to go ahead and land him or whatever weird team he ends up on. I don't know. I don't know if LeBron's willing to make a commitment. I don't think he really cares. I mean, he'd be happy to sign a one-year deal wherever to try to go ahead and chase another ring and then eventually end up, you know, maybe possibly playing with Bronny. So I don't know. I think it's just weird, but I do think that I think the Warriors' days are numbered as far as, you know, their big three goes. And I think if they pick one or the other, I think they would dump Klay before they dump Draymond, because Draymond, they're going to get off cheap. And I think Klay would say, you know what, I have no problem going to the Wizards. They're going to pay me almost top dollar. He's going to get money because he's Klay Thompson. He has rings, and he's going to put butts in the seat at the end of the day. So there's still value left, I think, you know, for him money-wise. But I think with this Warriors team, I think they're going to be like, you know, we're not going to win a title with this team. So we're not going to pay Klay whatever he's asking. Or I don't even think he would take a reduced amount coming off of the bench. Because, yeah, I mean, him coming off the bench right now, that's hurting his value. I mean, it is at the end of the day. If he's just like, I'm out of here at the end of the year, I could lose $30 million. Mm-hmm. He's already got his rings. He's got his title. He's Klay Thompson. He's going to go down as a legend, right? Get the hell out of there and make your money. That's kind of the way I could see Klay sitting down at the table to go and discuss, you know, negotiations. So my gut feeling says Klay's not there next year. That's just kind of where I'm at right now. But I could see it completely blowing up if this thing gets ugly and maybe Draymond goes too. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if this Warriors team does, in fact, I mean, let's just say they even get into the play-in tournament. I mean, what's the guarantee that they actually make it out of that play-in tournament bracket as a 7th or 8th seed? So it'll be definitely interesting to see what transpires in the offseason for the Golden State Warriors. Another team that may be flying under the radar here, Sleepy, that you brought up, that we may want to get some futures down on right now. I'll let you take the lead on this, because I think this is an interesting conversation right now, especially what's kind of transpiring in the Eastern Conference, where the Boston Celtics are starting to coast a little bit, right? I mean, they've pretty much locked up that number one seed. Milwaukee Bucks are, I think, pretty much cemented into that two seed. But you kind of go further down the list, there's a team in particular that I think that may present some great value right now. And I'll let you take it from here.
All right. So we had talked about maybe going ahead and putting some money down on the Philadelphia 76ers in a really good spot. And that really good spot, I think, is coming up here, Manaf. So Philadelphia has 10 games left. They're saying Embiid probably comes back in 2-3 weeks, which would leave Philadelphia with 5-6-4 games, somewhere in that area. But they have like a really easy stretch where they play Memphis. They play, I forget the other couple of teams. I was looking. They have a bunch of games that they can knock out in a row if Embiid comes back for like the last 5 games. I don't think they're going to be able to go ahead and get the 6th seed because I have a feeling that they're going to lose the next 2 games. That's just my gut feeling. They have to play the Clippers and they have to play the Cavs. So let's say they lose those 2 games. They're now going to be like 4 games out of the 6th seed. So they're going to end up in a situation where they're going to end up in the play-in. But I think if they lose the next 2 games, we really go ahead and we take a look at them to go ahead and win at least the Eastern Conference. And I think you're going to get odds probably in the area of probably 25-1. Maybe you make a little pizza bet on them to go ahead and win the title. But I think the sweet spot, Manaf, comes this weekend. Let's say they lose against the Clippers. Let's say they lose against the Cavs. The minute that they lose 2 games in a row, I would say hurry up and bet them because then they're going to start talking about this team's going to miss the playoffs, Embiid's going to come back, and they're going to start firing up the Embiid train. They're going to start firing up the news. How's he doing? How's his knee? Is he out there practicing? And the minute they start anticipating his return, those odds are going to diminish a little bit because it's Joel Embiid. He's NBA, MVP player of the league. So I would say this weekend, if they get beat 2 in a row or even whatever the case is, let's say they split, maybe they win 2, then just go ahead and do it this weekend if that's what you want to do. But what was your lead into this one? It was with Boston, right? And I had a concern with them.
Yeah.
This would be my recommendation.
I was just going to mention here. Boston. Yeah.
Don't mess with that team. Don't bet them. Yeah. You cannot bet them right now. The books are, one, they're going to tax you because it's Boston. And that tax has been built in for God knows how long.
Yeah.
But Boston's 10 and a half games up in the Eastern Conference on Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. There's no incentive for that team to go balls to the wall to the end of the year. It's not like they're going to break any record for the most wins of all time or anything like that. Just. Yeah. Be careful messing with – you either want to fade Boston or you just want to stay away and pass because they're going to roll the ball out and Tatum's going to go out and play 27 minutes one night and Jaylen Brown's going to go out and play 26. And you're like, oh, why are they not on the floor, only half the fourth quarter and boy, they only played, 7 minutes in the first. Why use these guys up? This is a championship caliber team. So my recommendation is stay away from Boston. Don't be betting on them. You either want to bet against them or maybe even in-game second half on the other team against Boston. Just do not mess with Boston. That's the best professional advice I can give you.
And I think that if you take a look at what Boston has done this season in the first half, that's where the sweet spot and that's where the money is for this Boston Celtics team. Because we've seen them in the second half, especially in that third quarter, just come out absolutely flat. And we've seen that multiple times this season. I mean, this season alone, in their road games in the first half, 29-7 against the spread in the first half. So I think, like you mentioned, they're sleepy that, yeah, you probably want to play on the Boston Celtics in the first half and then look to bet on their opponents going to the second half. And this last game is just, again, one of those examples against the Atlanta Hawks. They had a 30-point lead to the Boston Celtics to only fumble the game away. And lose that game by 2 points. So again, like you mentioned, I think it's a great point that Boston doesn't have anything really to play for. They're pretty much locked into that number one seed. They're not going for any type of records. And you'll probably start seeing Jason Tatum sitting a couple of games here or there. Same thing with Jaylen Brown. And the focus for Boston is going to be, let's get these guys healthy, make sure we're all healthy heading into the playoffs and trying to make a championship run, which leads, like you mentioned, is about the Philadelphia 76ers, who have the third easiest schedule remaining. Right. And then you take a look at their 5 easy opponents that are left. They're all winnable games. The Detroit Pistons, the San Antonio Spurs, the Toronto Raptors, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Brooklyn Nets. And their tough games are, like you just mentioned, they have the Clippers on Wednesday night, and then they have games against the OKC Thunder, the Cavs, the Magic, and the Miami Heat. And I think there's a couple games in that can definitely win as far as their more difficult opponents go for this Philadelphia 76ers team. And you insert a guy, a healthy Joel Embiid, back into this lineup with the surrounding pieces that the Sixers do have, right? I mean, they added Buddy Hield at the trade deadline. They added Kyle Lowry, a veteran point guard who can provide you some leadership. Maybe he's not going to be giving you a lot of minutes, but those minutes that he does give you in the playoffs, whether it's anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes, that's going to provide a lot of value. So I think, yeah, right now may be the time, or like, you know, Sleepy, like you mentioned, that maybe in the next day or two or over the weekend, you want to fire on some Philadelphia 76ers futures, knowing that they are going to get Joel Embiid back for the playoff push. So we'll definitely keep an eye out right now for the odds on the Philadelphia 76ers going forward to, you know, maybe even, you know, win the title or for the Eastern Conference at least. And looking right now at the championship odds right now for this Philadelphia 76ers team, currently on DraftKings, 30-1 to win it all. And for them to come out of the Eastern Conference, it's 12-1. So I think that's definitely some value there for sure for the Philadelphia 76ers. One more topic I want to discuss here with you, Sleepy, is looking at this Pacific Division in the Western Conference. And I mentioned this when we were, you know, prepping for the show, is that I picked up some Sacramento Kings to win the division at around 8-1. And that number has started to move a little bit for the Sacramento Kings. So currently, as it stands in the Pacific Division, they are two games behind the LA Clippers. And if you read some of the quotes from Ty Lue, in so many words, he's saying that, hey, you know, it's not going to matter which seed that we do end up in, because we're going to have to play on the road. We're going to have to play against, you know, whatever opponents in front of us. So right now, I think for this Clippers team, the concern is like, hey, we want to make sure that we have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard healthy, which I feel like that opens up the door. And I just played this number because of being only two games back in a division with the Clippers that may not have all the motivation right now, not playing the greatest basketball right now. For the Sacramento Kings to maybe sneak out this division with about 10 games to go here. So again, definitely shop around. There's 8-1s out there. There's plus 750s out there. I put a little pizza bet down on it for the Sacramento Kings to actually sneak up in this division and possibly win the division title here. I'm not sure if you have any thoughts on that, Sleepy, but I thought that number was a little bit mispriced, being only two games back of a Clippers team who are, you know, currently been struggling since the All-Star break.
I think the best thing that you have is the fact that the Clippers are struggling. It's definitely not the Kings' schedule, because 7 out of their 11 games are going to be tough. They got the Mavs, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Celtics, OKC, the Pels, the Suns. That's going to be tough. And I know a lot of those games that they have there, especially some of the tough ones, they're going to be at home. So would I make this bet? I would say no. But I would be more or less, I'd be rooting against the Clippers every night, because then I think that at least the Kings are the caliber type of team that they could probably cash this type of ticket. I just worry about that schedule. It's tough, but you know, you're not getting 2-1 one off. You're getting 8-1. You know, if they played this 8 times with the current way the Clippers are playing currently, I guess I would probably feel pretty decent, but I wouldn't make this wager. And it's only just because I'm looking at the schedule and it just looks daunting to me. But if you want me to go ahead and grade your ticket, I don't think it's a bad ticket at all. It's not a wager that I would particularly make.
Yeah, and again, like you mentioned that, I would have had expected this number to maybe be around 2-1, 3-1, but around at 8-1, I had to take a little bit on that for the Sacramento Kings to, you know, maybe make this a competitive division and, you know, and also for them to stay out of that play-in tournament bracket as well, because again, right now, as the standings go, they are they're tied with the Dallas Mavericks record-wise, because right now Dallas is in the 7th spot and Sacramento is in 6th spot, and they are playing, I think, back-to-back games here. So it's going to be an interesting series to watch between these two teams and see who ends up in that top 6 seed in the Western Conference. So let's turn the page here. Let's get over to the Wednesday night betting card in the association. A full schedule of games, on the Wednesday night card here. And we'll start here with a team that we had just mentioned and talked about at volume. That's going to be the LA Clippers. They are in Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. And currently, as it stands right now, this game, the Clippers are a 5.5-point road favorite here with a total of 219. Looking at the injury report between these two teams, for the LA Clippers, they are pretty healthy here. I did see Norman Powell did pop up as questionable for the LA Clippers. But other than that, everybody is going to be a go in this game. For the Philadelphia 76ers, they are going to be another healthy squad here. Obviously, no Joel Embiid like we did talk about. Kelly Oubre is questionable in this game as well for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's dealing with left shoulder soreness. But everybody else is a go in this game. Clippers, like we mentioned, struggling at the moment, but they are a 5.5-point favorite in this game against the Sixers here. Sleepy, what do you think?
Yeah, this is probably one that you're hoping that Philly steals, because it's going to help your Kings ticket out. You know, it's going to help it out a lot.
Yeah,
I actually would I'd probably end up playing the Clippers here. One, it's a revenge spot. They just played Philly at home in L.A. They got beat by Philly, and then they turned around in the next game and ended up getting beat by the Pacers. So, you know, it's back-to-back losses now for the Clippers, and I don't know, man. It's like when I look at Philly and I get it, all right? Like, you just beat the Clippers, but they haven't beaten that many teams without Joel Embiid. They're beating up on, you know, the Little Sisters of the Poor. They're beating up on the teams that aren't really all that good, that you know, can't really circle the wagons. And I mean, you got Harden, you got PG, you got Kawhi. Like, that's a championship caliber team too. So they're going to come in here salty, especially off the road, off two losses. And I just don't think that Philly has the firepower. Philadelphia went, they went all out the last couple games. I mean, Maxey played 40 minutes in each of the last two games or something like that. So you just got to wonder, coming back home, you know, off of the West Coast road trip, it's your first game back. And I think that Philadelphia probably feels pretty happy the way that road trip went for them. I could feel a little bit of a letdown. I think that this is the Clippers kind of it's kind of just one of the Clippers games that they have to have this one now to kind of, you know, right the ship. So I'll take them. I think that they certainly check more boxes here than Philadelphia does. So I'll take the Clippers minus the 5.5. Don't necessarily know if I love it, but I like it enough that I'd probably end up betting this one at Clippers 5.5.
Yeah, as much as I hate to agree with you, because I do have that the Kings ticket now, that would only help. But again, I think you nailed the handicap. It's that it's a tricky spot for the Philadelphia 76ers, right? They're coming off of that four-game West Coast road trip where they wrapped it up against the Sacramento Kings, in fact, where they did lose that game 108-96. And now they're traveling back home to host this Clippers team. And then right after that, they take a short two-game road trip to Cleveland and then to Toronto. So I've seen this be a very tricky spot for a lot of these teams that are coming off of that four or five game road trip, come back home for one game, and then they head back on the road again. And I think that when you coming off of that West Coast road trip, you know, players coming back home, they want to, you know, take care of family things. They, you know, want to go see their barber or whatever the case might be, right? That they have personal things that they want to take care of. And maybe that focus is not going to be in this game. And also, like you mentioned as well, an immediate revenge spot for this Clippers team here. So I'll agree with you. It's Clippers for me here as well. And again, when we talk about this playoff picture in the Western Conference, for teams 3 through 10 to 11, every game is going to be meaningful for those teams. And again, I think this is a opportunity for the Clippers, who are starting their own four-game road trip here in Philadelphia. So you want to get that road trip started off on the right foot here. So I'm with you here, minus 5.5. on the LA Clippers. Getting over to the next game here on the Wednesday night card, we'll take a look at the, let's go over to the game between the Golden State Warriors, they are headed to Orlando after their game on Tuesday night against the Miami Heat, where they did end up winning that game pretty comfortably. They pulled away in that second half. Did the Golden State Warriors. They got the victory against Miami 113-92. They outscored the Miami Heat in the second half 60-37. A lot of the starters didn't play a lot of minutes. The starter that played the most minutes, I should say, was Jonathan Kuminga, who played 32 minutes. And Andrew Wiggins, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson all played 31 minutes. And then Draymond played 28 minutes. But now they head to Orlando. Currently, as it stands, the Warriors are catching 6 points here against the Orlando Magic with a total of 217.5. And for the injury report for the Orlando Magic, Gary Harris is questionable. Caleb Houston is questionable. But other than that, everybody is a go for this Orlando Magic team. So, B, what are you thinking about this game here? -6.50.
This line smells about as fishy as it could possibly be. But, like, I know Orlando's good, but the line being what it is, they're begging you to go ahead and take this Warriors team here, plus all these points. And when I see a line like this, when it's fishy, you either take the team that looks very wrong, or you just go ahead and pass. And Munaf, you know I root for the Warriors. And in order for me to say that, to go ahead and just say I'm not taking the Warriors, you know that there's got to be a red flag going up with me. And it's the line. And I've been doing this for since I was a teenager. You know, I've been handicapping games for 30 years, and it took me a long time to learn my lesson. If it looks too good to be true, it usually is. And this is a too good to be true line. Don't take the Warriors plus the 6 points. I know it looks really appetizing, but when all is said and done, probably more than 55% of the time, you're going to end up on the wrong side. So it would be Orlando for me or pass. And, you know, I don't like betting against the Warriors, but this is a line that you can't even get sleepy on. This is a trap. It's a trap game. It's a trap line. So don't mess with the Warriors. That's the best advice I can give you.
I tend to agree with you here about the Warriors. I mean, six, when you're looking at this game, it feels like too many points for the Orlando Magic. But you take a look at the spot right now, right, as well. Warriors going to be on a back-to-back situation. The Orlando Magic actually have a three-day rest advantage in this game over the Golden State Warriors. And who knows, maybe Steve Kerr, after getting the victory in Miami on Tuesday night, that they may decide to sit some players here against the Orlando Magic have been this season, where they've been absolutely dominant at home, right? 25-9 straight up, 24-10 against the spread. Both of those numbers are firing at 70%+ for the Orlando Magic. So, I'll be curious to see if they do end up sitting some players for the Golden State Warriors, but even in non-conference home games this season for the Orlando Magic, 7-4 straight up, 7-4 against the spread. So for the Orlando Magic, that if you think they're going to win this game, they're more than likely going to cover the number. And you take a look at the Warriors, right? Like we mentioned, they're in the midst of a four-game East Coast road trip, I should say. They have the Magic on Wednesday night, and then they'll go to Charlotte on Friday night, and they'll wrap up their road trip by going into San Antonio on Sunday night. So I think that if you're the Warriors, if you get three out of the four, you know, road games here on this road trip here, I think you would be happy about that. But I think for the Orlando Magic, I think they'll be ready to go in this game. And like I mentioned, I've been one of the best teams against the spread in the NBA thus far this season. So I'm there with you. I think this line stinks. I'll take the Magic here as well, -6 right now, currently over on DraftKings. Getting over to the last game here that we want to cover on the Wednesday night card, that's going to be the Phoenix Suns. They are headed to Denver in the Mile High City to take on the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets. Currently, as it stands, Sleepy, for this game, the Denver Nuggets are a 7-point home favorite here with a total of 225. And this is where things get a little bit interesting looking at the injury report, because let's start here with the road team, the Phoenix Suns. In their last game against the San Antonio Spurs, we did see Bradley Beal leave with a finger injury. and also Yusuf Nurkic left with an ankle injury. Yusuf Nurkic is officially questionable on the injury report. He did not practice on Tuesday afternoon for the Phoenix Suns, and also Bradley Beal is listed as questionable. The official designation for his injury is a right finger sprain for Bradley Beal. For the Denver Nuggets side, got a couple of questionable tags here. Number one, Aaron Gordon is questionable, and also Jamal Murray. He's in with a right knee inflammation. He's also questionable. Nikola Jokic is probable in this game right now. And also Michael Porter Jr. is probable as well. So I think these are two teams right now that are going in opposite directions. The Denver Nuggets are playing some of their best basketball, I should say, of the season over their last couple of weeks here. They've actually won four games in a row. They are 2-2 against the spread in that span. They've actually won 9 out of the last 10 games overall. With this Phoenix Suns team, now you have guys, two of your five starters, what I'm trying to say, are injured. And now you're going up against a Denver Nuggets team that's doing their best to lock up that number one seed again in the Western Conference here. But right now, Sleepy, -7 in favor of the Denver Nuggets. What are you thinking about this game?
Well, you know me with the Nuggets, man. I can never get them right. If I'm on them or against them, I'm always wrong. Believe it or not, I was thinking maybe best bet Suns here, because I feel like that, and I know that there's guys out. Let's just say one of them plays. Let's say Beal goes or whatever. Let's say they're both out. All right, cool. A lot of times teams will step up. They'll step up and they'll rally around the guys that are being out. But the main reason I want the Suns here is because this is a look in the mirror game. That's exactly what this is. The loss to the Spurs the other day was inexcusable. It was embarrassing. Wembanyama wasn't on the floor. And people were talking about it. I mean, it was in the news that it was an inexcusable type of loss. And I think when you start seeing those type of headlines, a team that should be, right now probably contending for a 1, 2, or 3 seed, and they're barely hanging on right now. This is a look in the mirror game. And if the Nuggets don't bring their A game, they're going to get beat. I think between KD and between Booker, they're going to go out there and they're just going to play, like they're the best players in the world. I think 7 points is just way too much here for this particular spot. And a lot of it just comes down to the motivation for me with the Suns. Like, I know the Nuggets are good. I know that they can go out there and beat anybody by 7 points. They could beat a fully healthy Suns team by 7 points. But this is a different type of game. This is, you go look in the mirror and tell me who you are. And when you take the court, you just take the court with a different mentality, a different motivation, a different spirit. And I think that that's what the Suns are going to bring in this game. So I'm going to take the 7 points. I wouldn't be opposed to anybody thinking about maybe playing the Suns on the money line. And I normally would not do that. Taking a dog like +7 on the money line, normally not a wager that I get interested in much. You have to have a real key motivation. I guarantee you that the Suns will have that for this game. So give me the 7. I'm going to make that my best bet. I'm not saying I kind of hope that Beal or Nurkic is out, but I think if one of them is out, it just makes it so much more intense, and they really just rally around like, all right, Bradley's out tonight. Everybody got to go. And then I think that I know I'm getting max motivation, a team that's just dialed in dead set. We're taking the champs down tonight. We don't care who's on the floor or who's not. We're going out swinging. So I'll make it my best bet, Manoff. I'll take the Suns +7, and I wouldn't be opposed to taking them on the money line. I actually think that that is a half-decent bet as well.
Yeah, look, this team, the Phoenix Suns team, has been good to you this season. And I think that all the points in your handicap that you made there are very valid. But you also take a look at the numbers for the Denver Nuggets, right? They're 29-6 at home, but they're just 18-16-1 against the spread, barely profitable at 52.9% against the spread. So, how much does Denver put into this game is number one question for me, because I know, like I mentioned, they are vying with that number one spot. But you take a look who they have on deck on Friday, the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that's breathing down their neck. for that number one spot. So it could possibly could be a look ahead spot for the Denver Nuggets in this game here as well. Where the Suns, like I mentioned, they're embarking on this this four game road trip, where they're going up against opponents that they're looking at in the standings that are above them, right? The Denver Nuggets, the OKC Thunder, the Pelicans. So I think we're going to find out a lot about this Phoenix Suns team, I think, within this, not only on this game on Wednesday night, Sleepy, but also on Friday night when they play the Thunder, also on Monday when they have to go up against the Pelicans. And again, you want to stay out of that play-in tournament bracket because you don't want to play those extra couple games and just put some more miles on some of your players that you could, you know, use to get that extra rest. Guys like Kevin Durant, you know, Bradley Beal, Yusuf Nurkic. You want to get those guys healthy and possibly, who knows, make a playoff run for the Phoenix Suns here. So I agree with you here. I think I would take the 7 here with the Phoenix Suns on this game against the Denver Nuggets. So there's Sleepy's best bet. That's going to be the Suns plus the 7 against the Denver Nuggets on the Wednesday night card. I'll get over to my best bet here, Sleepy, and I'm looking at that game between the Toronto Raptors and the New York Knicks. And currently, as it stands, the New York Knicks are a 12.5 point favorite in this game. I'm going to lay the chalk here. You take a look at this Toronto Raptors team. Number one, they are going to be without RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. They did return to practice for the Toronto Raptors, but they are not going to be playing in this game. They are looking to get them back maybe their next game or maybe over the weekend. But these are just two teams that are going opposite direction right now, Sleepy. And you take a look at this Raptors team after the All-Star break, it just has not been great for them. And I don't want to say quote-unquote tanking, but some of the guys that they do have in their starting lineup right now are guys that you should just see coming off of the bench. And for the Toronto Raptors, offensively, they've just been mightily struggling. And now you have a team in the New York Knicks who've been one of the best defensive teams in the association, not only all season, but they're still up there as far as the last five games go, and especially since the All-Star break. The New York Knicks right now, the number 3 rated defensive team over the last five games. And for the Toronto Raptors, since the All-Star break, 4-13 straight up, 6-11 against the spread. And you take a look at home since the All-Star break, Sleepy, 2-7 straight up, 1-8 against the spread are the Toronto Raptors. And on the other side, for the New York Knicks, I know that they've been missing guys. Obviously, they're key guys in, you know, Julius Randle and OG Anunoby. But they play hard-nosed defense, and they're going to lock down against this Toronto Raptors team who have already been struggling on the offensive side of the basketball. And you take a look over the last five games, the Toronto Raptors are dead last in offensive efficiency. And now you're going against a team that's the third-best team as far as defensive rating goes. So I think points are going to be definitely at a premium here for the Toronto Raptors. The New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson is having a fantastic season. Josh Hart nearly plays every damn minute for this New York Knicks team. So I think there's a good spot here for the New York Knicks. I think they roll here. Wouldn't be opposed to you taking the first half. They just come out and take care of business in that first half, and they continue to roll in the second half for the New York Knicks. So I'm going to lay the chalk here at -12.5 for the New York Knicks against the Toronto Raptors here, Sleepy.
Yeah, I'm not against that one. I would probably also maybe take a look at what the Raptors team total is. I mean, that team, they're struggling to get to the century mark, and now you bring the Knicks in, who, like you're saying, they might go out there and try to end it early. So maybe even a first half under Raptors team total might not be all that bad. Now, the Raptors have to play on Sunday, which is Easter. So they're off Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You have to wonder, some of these players, there's a really good chance that they're already have their bags packed to go see their families. I mean, they have 3 full days. These dudes got money. I mean, if somebody needs to fly to Florida or wherever the case might be, you know, they might be looking to go ahead and get out of Dodge and then maybe come back home on Saturday or whatever the case might be. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. I don't necessarily like playing on bad teams who have a home game right around the time when there's a holiday, because I think that I think it's the opposite too of like a team that has motivation to win. Hey, if you win that game, you're going to get reward and you're not going to have to come in on the holiday or around the holiday. So this is just a bad team. And I don't like the spot at all for them. I think the spot's bad, but I'm with you with the Knicks. I mean, that was the way I would go, but I'd also go ahead and take a look at the Raptors Raptors team totals, first half, second half, full game, whatever. I would look at that under too. So, yeah, I'd be with the enemy before I'd ever be against you on that one.
100%. So hopefully we can continue our winning ways here for our best bets for the Wednesday night card. Before we do, get over to our player prop best bet for the Wednesday night card here, Sleepy. A lot of great things happening right now on pregame.com. We got MLB season that's tipping off, or not tipping off, but starting in less than 48 hours with opening day on Thursday. Sweet 16 as well on Thursday. NHL's in full swing. They're getting ready for the playoffs as well. Like we talked about here on the NBA pod, winding down the season here. So it might just be a great time to take advantage of all the things that are happening right now on pregame.com here, Sleepy.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on right now. If you guys enter code MVP15, save $15 off anything there at pregame.com, and that's good for the next 7 days from this podcast release. And also, you know, if you guys are looking to go ahead and get more sports betting content, like Manoff and I, you know, we kind of made a commitment to go ahead and maybe try to go and do some videos for you guys so you could see our, you know, you guys could see our pretty faces. But if you guys are looking for more content, including like free picks, highlights, viral videos, breaking news, anything like that, make sure you guys follow us on our social media accounts, because there's a ton of content going up on there, whether it be X, TikTok, Instagram, and go to Pregame Now. That's where we're at on all our socials. And if you go to pregame.tv, that's where we're at on YouTube. So check out all our social stuff. You guys will find myself, Munaf. We'll go ahead. We'll put some cool videos up with some nice graphics and stuff for you guys to go ahead and see, throw tomatoes at. But, yeah, like I said, MVP 15, save 15 bucks or off anything at pregame.com. Like I said, that's good for about 7 days from this podcast release. So go do that. Follow the socials. And, yeah, there's our promo.
There we go. Sleepy, let's get over to our player prop best bet for the Wednesday night card here. And again, just a reminder that we've been on here with our player prop best bet. So hopefully we can continue the winning ways here. To toot our horn a little bit here, we've now won 10 out of our last 11 player prop best bet, Sleepy. And since December 1st, 18-8 on our player prop best bet. So hopefully we can get another one to the window here. We're going to go over the game between the Brooklyn Nets and the Washington Wizards. I'm going to take a look here at the starting center for the Brooklyn Nets. That's Nick Claxton, to go over on his rebounding prop right now, which is set at 10.5 here, currently over on DraftKings Sportsbook. And you take a look at number one. Let's start with the Washington Wizards, who just have not been very good keeping opponents off of the glass, in particular at that at that center position. Nick Claxton has already played against the Wizards three times this season. So this will be the fourth and final match of the season for the Brooklyn Nets and the Washington Wizards. So in the three games thus far this season, Nick Claxton, in 28 minutes in the first game, had 13 rebounds, 26 minutes, 15 rebounds in the second matchup. And the last matchup was back on December 29th of last year, in 2023. 30 minutes, he had 12 rebounds. So he's gone over this projection in three straight games this season. If you want to date it back to last season, the last game that they did match up, he also had 15 rebounds in that matchup. Now you take a look at what Nick Claxton has been able to do over the last five games for the Brooklyn Nets. He's averaging close to 31 minutes per game. And I know the Brooklyn Nets have been dealing with no injuries, guys being in and out of the lineup, but Claxton has been that one consistent guy. We've seen an uptick in minutes, fortunately for us, over the last five games. Like I mentioned, he's played at least 31 minutes in for the last five games. He's coming off a game against the Toronto Raptors, where I think are similar to this Washington Wizards team, that they just can't defend the center position because of lack of bodies. I know they're getting Marvin Bagley back, but I just don't think that's going to be enough to keep Nick Claxton off of the glass here, Sleepy. So I really like this number at 10.5 here for Nick Claxton to grab at least 11 rebounds for us. Would I be surprised if he does get into the realm of 13, 14, 15 rebounds again? I wouldn't be shocked at all. And last note here, the Washington Wizards on the season are allowing the most rebounds to that center position at 18.1. So if Nick Claxton plays another 30-plus minutes here tonight, and the spread right now is sitting at 2.5, so the books are expecting this to be a closer game and coming down to the wire, I would expect Nick Claxton to at least have 11 rebounds here at the end of the night against the Washington Wizards here, Sleepy. So Player prop best bet, Nick Claxton over 10.5 rebounds here, Sleepy. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, the minute you told me what the pick was, I'm like, I'm all for it because we've faded the Wizards before with centers. And we've cashed, I think we might have cashed every one of those tickets. So I don't see any reason why I would go ahead and have anything really negative to say about this one because I don't. What I like most about this one is that Claxton's coming back home. And he's coming off of the second most rebounding game that he had all year long. I think his high was 17. I think he had one other game with 16. So can he go up back out and have another monster game? I think that he can, and the fact that he's getting extra minutes, it maybe that's not factored in totally enough. Like if you give this guy an extra 3 or 4 minutes, you know, he can grab another 2 boards, and you never know. Maybe he goes for 20 and 20 because he hasn't been scoring all that great recently. I think he had like 6 and 9 points or something like that. I know he's been in the single digits, so he probably just comes out with like a man possessed against this Wizards team that simply can't stop the center. So I think he has a pretty good scoring game. I think he has a monster rebounding game. I wouldn't put it out of the question that this could potentially be the highest rebounding game of the year. So that's why I like this one. But I think he just wants to go back out and have another monster game and act like, you know, last game wasn't a fluke for me. Like I can go out and get 15 or 16. So, yeah, I think this is just a great spot, great matchup for him. And, I think he's at 15, I think. Probably by the end of this game for sure. But don't be shocked if we're sitting really, really pretty because we've been pretty good with these going into halftime where we know we're going to cash before halftime. I think he's probably sitting with probably like 8 rebounds at halftime and we only need a couple in the second half. And like you said, the line's short, so we'll probably get there, I think, without an issue here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this number does move towards 11.5 by the morning or at least by game time for Nick Claxton. But I really feel confident about this one. So hopefully we're starting a new winning streak here. We've won 2 in a row. We've won 10 out of our last 11. So hopefully we can keep it rolling here. So again, player prop best bet, Nick Claxton of the Brooklyn Nets to go over 10.5 rebounds in this game against the Washington Wizards. So maybe that's going to wrap it up, my friend, for this edition of the NBA podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Anything else you want to mention, my man, before we go our separate ways?
No. I'm glad we were able to squeeze the Rocket stuff in there in the beginning. That was good. I didn't know if we were going to get to that on this podcast, but it's nice to be able to go ahead and get back on the pod after, you know, a full week off, Manoff. You know, we almost went an hour here, so it seems like we had some catching up to do. But, you know, like I said, like this is go time. This is money time now for all the handicappers. I know Manoff is knee deep in everything, and he's getting ready to go ahead and start firing up all his big bets. So, great time of the year for NBA. I mean, obviously we have the March Madness, and that's gonna end rather quickly. So it's all systems go. So like I said before, go over to pregame if you guys are looking for any type of picks. Enter that code MVP15, save $15 there at pregame.com. Make sure you follow Manoff and I on our social accounts too, SleepyJ_pregame and at SportsNerd824. That's where we're at. That's where we'll be.
100% again. Oh, so close to the MLB season. I'm definitely excited for that as well. And then we'll have NBA.
I got to ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to ask you this. So I woke up. I don't know what day it was. It was the 22nd or the 23rd, one of them. Mm-hmm. And I go on and I'm like, oh, I'm getting up. Maybe I was getting ready to watch golf. It was early, man. It was like 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I see the Dodgers are playing the Padres in Japan. And they're real games. Like they're regular season games.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is this all about? I'm like, this is just stupid. Like, just because they're playing in Japan, now these games count. But the Dodgers were playing exhibition games yesterday. They're playing them again today. I'm like, how does that make any sense? Why not just send the Dodgers and the Padres over there for a full week, let them go out there and play baseball? Like, why do they have to count? So it just seemed really stupid. I don't know. Sometimes you think when like baseball can't do anything stupider, like they do something like that. I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. I don't know. So anyway, I missed opening season, opening day. But I heard you say it in the beginning. It's like opening day is coming up. Da da da. But in reality, opening day was like opening at like 4 in the morning my time, and it made no sense to me. So I guess And my buddy, who's a big baseball guy, he was like, that spoils the whole season for me. I'm like, he's like, because it's not opening day now. And I'm like, no, it is. I'm like, only the goofballs, you know, think that that's, you know, whatever. But anyway, I just wanted to rant about that. I thought it was completely stupid.
I think a lot of people share the same sentiments as you do that. Why were they playing in Japan on a random week where I don't think there was a lot of coverage that happened for that game, because it was also in the middle of March Madness as well. But I think a lot of people share the same sentiments as you. I'll disagree with your friend. I still think that Thursday is going to be opening day, because we have baseball that starts early in the day and then goes all the way till the night. So it's definitely one of the more exciting. I mean, this week in particular is one of the more exciting weeks. Again, like you mentioned, with Sweet 16 tipping off on Thursday as well. MLB opening day, NBA going on as well. So great time to be not only just a better, but also a sports fan in general here, Sleepy. So we'll leave it at that. We'll be back later this week sometime, and we'll talk more NBA. Hopefully we come back with a winning episode. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off, and we'll talk to you guys down the road.